I really pray that God will speak to you through this word. And like Kim has said, God has been putting things in my heart this morning that he may want me to emphasize, and we'll just see where it goes, okay? And I've got a few little, I wouldn't say little helpers, but I've got a few helpers this morning, so they're going to help me out. So where we're going to be looking today, the title of the word I want to bring is secure. Okay, secure. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through and give a bit of an introduction about where this word has come from. Then I'm going to look at the effects of being insecure or secure. And then look at some things that can help us to remain secure or be secure. So that's the structure of where I'm going to go through. God has given me a simple word, but it's something he has been working through me. And he's been working it through me most probably since May of this year, okay, and we'll just see where this is going. So he put the seed within my heart at the end of May this year, and it came about because I was missing something, okay. I was missing something. Now, who am I to Jacob and Alfie? Do you want to come forward and bring what you've got with you, okay? So this is what I was missing, okay? So you want to unfold your map there and you can come over here, Jacob, if you want, and unfold yours. So unfold them, okay? That's it. They're quite big. They're double-sided. So I know some people in this room loathe maps, wouldn't know which way they go, upside down, sideways, or what. Other people... Jacob knows. Well done, Jacob and Alfie. Thank you. So these are maps. One's of the Cotswolds. I think that's the one that Jacob's got. And Alfie's got one of the Lake Districts. Ed and I used to do quite a bit of walking, particularly on bank holiday Mondays. And we used to plan out a route. And we always used to take a detailed map with us so that we could always find our way. We could always see where we were going. Did we get lost? Yes, we did. But we always had a map to go back to. I think one of the funniest recollections, we were following, I don't think I was leading this one, but following the map, and somehow, instead of going on the right road, we just ended up at this pub, which was completely off the map. But then we got back on track. So I don't know how that happened, but it does. So what I was missing at the end of May was one of these maps. Okay, thanks, guys. You can take them away now. Thank you. Big hand for my helpers. So at the end of May, Ed and I were staying near the Malvern Hills, and we've been told that there's some beautiful views on top of these hills, okay? So one morning we got this sketchy map from the caravan site. They hadn't got any proper maps, as I like to call them. And we went out and we tried to find a place to park near where the map said it started. Of course, it was busy, okay? I think it was a bank holiday Monday. Everything was really, really busy. We couldn't park there. So we had to drive down the hill quite a way and find somewhere to park. The problem was is then we couldn't walk back up the hill because the road was very busy. So we had to find our way up using this map that really didn't help at all. In fact, it was useless. So we climbed up through the woods. And then we got into the woods. Of course, when you're in the woods, you can't see anything. You just can't see anything. It was absolutely useless. And at that point, I just felt lost. I'd felt I hadn't got the right tools to get me to where I was going. And then God's word came to me. He said, "Where is your security? Where is your security?" And I knew he wasn't saying it just about having a map. He was saying, where in your life is your security? Is it in me? Why at times, I said to myself, why at times then do I feel so lacking in confidence and lost and insecure? This word and challenge has stayed with me since that time. And you know when God hits you with a word, you just can't let go of it. And he sort of mulls it over, and I knew from quite a while back that I've been put down to bring a word this morning. So I knew what God really wanted me to speak about, but I haven't been able to forget it. So this morning I'm lifting that burden, I suppose, and sharing it with you, and hopefully it will speak to you as well. So how did the walk end? Well, we eventually found our way up through the woods, and we came to what was a very clear path, and there was lots of people around with everybody else. We battled through the flying ants because there were plenty of flying ants at that point in time. It was just before it got really hot, okay, and settled. And we managed to get to the top of the Malvern Hills. Unfortunately, it was misty. We couldn't see anything. So we got to the top and we just couldn't see anything, okay? You could see your hand in front of your face, but you just couldn't see where you were going. But we got there, okay? We got to the top. And I suppose what God said to me about that, it just reminded me this morning that it's like that sometimes with God. He's there, but you can't see him. Sometimes you can't feel him. It's like the mist. It seems like he's barred from you, but he's still there and he's still very close. And sometimes we just have to break through and believe he's there. That's where faith comes in. We have to hold on to that God is there. We have to believe that he is there and he wants to speak to us. So we came down and we didn't see the views, but we knew they were there, okay. But maybe you know that when you were young, or maybe for your children, that you had maybe a security item, a security blanket maybe. Maybe it was a lovely soft toy, a special toy that you wouldn't go to sleep with. Or maybe it was a blanket, something that would comfort you when you were upset or when you went to sleep. And the panic that you sometimes see on a parent's face when they know actually this toy is lost and the person needs to go to sleep, and you cannot find it, okay? That's sometimes can be a sheer panic. And these security things, okay, they're loved, okay? And a while further on, they're barely recognisable for what they were at the beginning because they're so loved, but they're a shade of their former selves. And then one day, they either disappear or you put them aside, okay? But these things are really important because they provide that security to you when you were young. So my challenge to you and to myself, because this is a word I'm still working through, is where do we find our security? What makes you feel secure? Is God and his word part of that? So let's have a little think about the effects of being secure or insecure. We all have different things that affect us, circumstances. We're all different. Things that can make us feel secure can include a healthy bank balance, jobs, friendships, relationships, being accepted. For youth, it's often their phones or their tech, what we achieve, and our health, okay? Often with our health, we don't appreciate it until we lose it. It's often what I've found, but our health is very important to us. And you know, none of these things are wrong, and we thank God for them. We count our blessings when we have them, but they're not permanent. We can lose them. The other week, I lost my phone, okay? Don't know how it happened, but I've been in a pub again. I don't know what's happening about this anyway. And we went to drive off, and the music didn't come in the car because the phone wasn't there for it to connect to. We immediately realised I'd left my phone in the pub. Didn't know where I'd left it, but the sheer panic of loss that I felt was overwhelming. Fortunately, a kind person had handed it in. I mean, I think when they came in and they saw the look on my face, I think they recognised whose phone it was, and I soon had it back. But that feeling of loss, that feeling of complete insecurity is overwhelming at times. It really can get to us. So we all suffer loss in one way or another, and it does steal our security, it steals our peace. And that's when we need to lean and rest on something that's solid, that's faithful, and that's where our God comes in, okay? This morning we've heard some wonderful testimonies of people pushing through this week, of finding God in their storms, in their challenges. And that's putting this word into action this morning. And it's brilliant to hear that. It's brilliant to see how God is working in us and shaping us through the difficult times. The other area where God has spoken to me was, as I was praying this, was our past experiences. Often can have significant effects on us. They can affect our confidence and our security. In my work, I often hear some of the tragic histories of children in care and how they affect children. For you who have or are caring for these children, difficult and challenging as it is at times, you're outworking God's heart in a massive, massive way. Never forget that. However difficult it gets, you're showing God's heart of love. And I know God commends you that you are storing up treasure in heaven for the work that you have done or are doing at this time. But past events can be traumatic and difficult to overcome. And I've been reading a book by Beth Redman called God Knows Your Name. It's a beautiful book, but it talks at the beginning about the verbal rejection and condemnation she received from her father. Unbelievable things he spoke over her life that really affected her and really affected her self-confidence. And we'll come back to that a bit later on in my talk. And as I was preparing this word for today, God really impressed on me that we must not let our past hold us back. We must not let our past hold us back. We need to find a way through. However painful it is and however long it takes, we must not let past experiences hold us back. We need to reach out and know and the love and acceptance of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, he said it was finished. He has overcome, and we need to accept that truth. We need to find the journey to the point that we find and accept that truth. And I love it, Simon, wasn't it? You talked about how we cry out to God. Now we cry out to the body, the church. And we need people around us sometimes to support us through these times. That's what the church is here for, to support one another. Really, really is important. And we must do that. So one of the examples I had when I was probably getting on 15 years ago, I must probably be thinking about this. When I worked for a children's charity called Action for Children, I worked for a great team of people for about seven years. It was quite static. We really got on. We worked together. We achieved an awful amount. And then after 7 years, my manager retired and a new one was appointed. And I was really not prepared for how different a manager could be from the one I was used to the new one that I had to work with. It was like chalk and cheese. It was so, so different. And although I stayed the same, the person who was managing me changed. And it meant that I struggled. And I struggled for a year. My confidence in my work dipped. I was at an all-time low, and at times it was a very dark place. It was like I was in a battle continually, all the time. The value I felt in my work completely disappeared. And it affected me personally, affected all areas of my life. Another area I've struggled with is sometimes the fear of making a mistake, the need for approval and acceptance, the need for encouragement. These insecurities can really lead to inappropriate behaviours or not speaking out, particularly when you're managing a team of people. You can get your work isn't effective. If you're not secure in who you are, as we were singing this morning, you can really do the wrong things. And God has had to teach me a lot through finding my acceptance in him. But the first thing that God said to me after he spoke to me in May was, first of all, you need to recognize what your weaknesses are. What are the things that are really going to pull the rug from under your feet? What makes you have that wobble? What holds you back in fear? What makes you in a complete emotional wreck for no reason at all? Okay. First, you have to admit what they are. You have to say, God, yeah, that's it, isn't it? That really affects me. What am I going to do about it? But Jesus has provided a way for us to move forward. And Charlie's going to come and read for me. He's going to read from Galatians 5:1. So if you want to come forward, Charlie. Okay. Read from here, it's the top one, look.
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then do not let yourselves be burdened again by yoke of slavery.
Okay, we'll just stand over there, because Charlie's got another one to read out in a minute. So, Jesus has provided a freedom for us. And I think it was the first song that we're talking about, is Christ has set us free. Jesus has set us free. That's what he wants us to live in. And we need to claim this. We need to claim this, and we're going to think about how we do that now. In his book, Goliath Must Fall, Louis Giglio says this: we can be confident and secure when we are immersed in intimacy with God, when we're close to God, that's when we feel secure. And Charlie's going to come and read from Psalm 16, verses 8 to 9. Stand there, Charlie, all right.
I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure.
Brilliant. Okay. You can put that back now. Thanks, Charlie. That's brilliant. So we need to keep our eyes fixed on God. We need to believe the truth of his promises through worship, word and prayer. We need to discover an intimacy which gives us a hope and a peace, and we rest secure. I love our worship in this church. It's amazing. You can come here and you can just let your heart go and you can find God in such a special place. We had a great time at Bethel, but there's something about worshipping together as a family in this place that just gets that intimacy with God that you get. It was a great time on Friday, though. The other thing I was just reflecting on this morning, I thought, God, I know I feel you more now than I used to. Why is that? Why is it? And he made me remember back to when I read the book of John this year. And John's gospel is very different. And he showed me, it comes from a friend writing about a friend almost. There's an intimacy in that book that's different from the others. And as I read it, I just saw that intimacy that John had with Jesus, who he loved so much. And it's, I think, as we spend time reading God's word, as we see how Jesus was a person who got alongside people, whether it was the woman at the well, whether it was Mary, whether his disciples, he just got alongside people and he loved them for who they were. He didn't look at what they were. He just loved them for who they were. And that's the intimacy. That's the closeness that Jesus wants with us on a day-by-day basis. But the principle is not easy to work through, is it? Life throws all sorts of at us, as we've found out this morning, okay? So it seemed like we're having a bit of a field day on Monday of last week, but hey, we've overcome, okay, and God is with us. And in Nick, in her preach a couple of weeks ago, she was saying, speaking to the storm, such an important thing, okay? We need to know, I think something I've learned, we need to know the battles we need to speak into and those that we just need to let God deal with, okay? And that comes, I think, with a discernment and a wisdom. But sometimes you just need to let go, okay, that's nothing to do with me, God needs to sort that out. Actually, God, you're asking me to step up and speak into that storm and change things. We've heard we're an intentional people. We're not people that are sit back and we're passive. We need to be moving forward in God. The other thing that, so when we saw in that story of Jesus in the boat with disciples, and disciples were clearly distressed, they were looking and focusing on the storm rather than on the King of Kings who was sleeping in the boat with them. They needed to change their focus, and that's sometimes what we need to do. We need to look at the thing, not look at the thing, but we need to look at Jesus to sort it out. And Jesus encouraged them to stand in faith. Another scripture I love is Psalm 23. I've always loved Psalm 23. It's, I think, because I came from a country background, and it just always speaks to me of the countryside and the peace. But one of the verses, verse 5, I never really thought about much until recently. And in verse 5 it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." What a beautiful picture, a powerful picture of sitting down at a table, sharing a meal with Jesus, and just looking and focusing on him, and not being worried by all the circumstances, all the pressures, all the enemies around you that would seek to push through. And there is something special, isn't there, when we sit down, when we talk God over a meal. There's something really special. And as Kim was saying this week, it's our sort of missional week. Sitting down over a meal and chatting through God is such an important thing that we build ourselves up and we move in faith. But that picture just speaks so much to me of focusing on Jesus and not on the things surrounding us. And there's a song out at the moment, which I've been listening to, which says, which includes the words, I am surrounded, but I am surrounded by you. I am surrounded, but I am surrounded by you. And it's God's loving arms that are around us. We're sharing that meal with him. Everything else just has to wait, and it's not, it just fades in the background. It's a complete picture of security and trust. And then coming back to Beth Redman and her book, she shares how, as she accepted the truth of God about her, and particularly from Isaiah 43:1, she believed a powerful revelation. She began to accept the truth that spoke louder to her than all the other condemning words from her father. And this is what she focused on. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And God would never, she learned that God would never leave her, would never reject her. He knew her name. There's something very important when people call you by your name, okay? It sort of captures your heart. It speaks to you. It's very powerful, okay? When you speak somebody's name, okay? You know your life is valued when God speaks your name. God knows our names, and he speaks your name to every one of you. He knows your name. Beth knew that she was significant to him. That's so important, is it, that we know we're significant, that our life is worthy and valuable. How many times have we sometimes thought, this life is useless, I feel useless. What's it all about, God? But actually, God values us. We are worthy. He can use us. Whatever our past is, and we've all got pasts, whatever it is, God says we're worthy. We're valuable to him. And we need to accept and believe the truth and stand against any lies that would say otherwise. We need to know this truth, okay? We need to know that God never writes us off. In fact, he always lifts us up. I can never think of an instance in the Bible where Jesus had an encounter with something and they weren't left in a better place. Maybe the Pharisees, but they were being spoken truth to. But God knows us. He understands us. He understands us better than we know ourselves, okay? Because he made us. He created us. It's really important. The other story, Bible story we've been hearing about recently that Rich has spoken, I know he spoke this in Africa, is the story of Mary and Martha. And there's a bit in Luke chapter 10, verse 39, which says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. See, Mary sat at his feet. Should she have been there? Tradition would have had her in the kitchens. Particularly with her past, she would have actually been completely out of sight. But Mary made the choice to sit at Jesus' feet, to look at him, to get her security and her rest in him. And Jesus commended her for it. Don't you love our God? He doesn't play by the book sometimes. He sometimes breaks all the rules. He just holds to the what's true, what's the love, what's going to touch people's lives. And he just doesn't look at tradition. He just sees what people are and he speaks into those situations. You read the Bible and we see all instances of Jesus just not playing the rules, okay? He created waves. We create waves when we do things, not by the book, but often we actually get to the truth and people's lives are changed. You see, God wants to pursue a life of intimacy with us on a daily basis, okay? And he wants us to check in with him. He wants us to thank him. As we've heard this morning, he wants us to cry out to him when we need help. And it's really important that we do that. Ed and I visited Hidcot Manor Gardens in July. If you've ever been there, it's just a beautiful garden, really beautiful. But by this time, it was really dry. And at right one end of the garden, there's this stream, which clearly would have had water in if there had been water, but there was no water. It was overgrown. It was completely dry. And God said to me, make sure my living water is flowing through you at all times, because you'll keep the channels clear. You need to keep the channels clear. You need to find me. You need to read his word. You need to worship. And that's why worship is so important. You need to pray. And it's a daily thing. And it's not about spending hours before God. It's that daily check-in. Okay, so that daily check-in, actually, God, I'm not sure what I'm doing at the moment. I need a bit of help here. Or, God, thank you for helping me sort that out and come up with that pearl of wisdom, because I wouldn't have come up with it on my own. Or it's that, actually, God, I really need your help now. I really don't know what I'm going to do next. Or I feel really tired. I need your strength to get me through the day. These are the checking in processes that God loves us to do on a daily basis. Just keeps us in contact with him all the time. Yes, he loves the times when we give him our whole being and sit down with him and rest and read his word and listen to him. But he also values just when we just check in, that moment between one job and the next, or that moment we're walking from one meeting to the next. These times, he just really appreciates that when we just check in with him. And at times, I have known great reassurances from God and felt really secure. And the one that came to mind is, it's quite funny when I think back of it. So I was a student at UWE, it was Bristol Poly when I was there. That shows how old I am. And one of the clubs I was part of was a diving club, okay? And for me, actually, I don't know why, because I couldn't swim very well, but I decided, I'm a fairly risky person. I think I always grew up risky. I was, some of the stuff I got into at home on the farm was probably fairly risky when I think about it. So I decided to join this diving club. But they did all sorts. So one of the things they said, we're going to have a weekend away and we're going to do a parachute jump. So I'd just become a Christian. I became a Christian when I was at Poly through Billy Graham. It's amazing, amazing guy he was. I think it was about 3 or 4 months later, I got this opportunity to do a parachute jump. And I can remember as I walked up to get the bus to meet everybody, God said to me, there's no need to fear. You're in my hands. You're absolutely fine. I just felt that reassurance, just felt it. It was all going to be okay. Bearing in mind at this point, I hadn't flown. I hadn't ever been in a plane. So I was going to go up, do a parachute jump and land. And actually not for a number of years, I could say I'd gone up in a plane, but had never come down. So that was quite funny. And the little plane, it was really small plane. There was about 6 of us crammed in and half the side was open because you had to jump out of somewhere. So it was an experience. But I just felt God. I just felt he was with me every step of the way then. I just felt that reassurance. And I know there have been other times, particularly when working with the youth. We've had weekends away and I've just known his wisdom and his support and his encouragement while we've done that. I've just known the presence of God going with me. And but it's not always like that, okay? Do I always overcome? No. Do I have those emotional moments where I just feel completely out of it? I'm thinking, what is going on? Yes. It is a daily battle. It's a daily battle against our emotions. It's a daily battle against the things that would come against us, that would put the things that aren't truth into our lives, that would seek to get us down and pull the rug from under our feet. Those emotions, those circumstances, those challenges. We all know what they are. We've all got them. We all know where we're weak. We all know where we need God to come in and help us through these times. But many of our insecurities can start through our thinking, okay? And it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We need to learn to take captive every thought and replace it with God's truth. It is a discipline, something that doesn't come overnight. But as with everything, as we practice it, we're more able to overcome. We're more able for him to transform our thinking. It says in Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what it means. It means to change the way we think so that God can use us. So last year in my work at Gloucestershire County Council, due to an inadequate Ofsted judgment, There followed a clearing out of the whole senior leadership team. Within a period of 9 months, they'd all gone in children's services. So this year, I've had to work with a completely new team of managers. And at times, it's been challenging. At times, it's been painful, because you don't let go of people easily. Some of the people that left were, I was very close to. And it's been frustrating. But God has taught me so much this time. Instead of many years ago when I didn't adapt to a new manager, God has helped me. He's really, really helped me to learn from my mistakes. As I was saying before, he's let me know what to surrender, what I need to surrender to him, and what when I need to speak out and say, actually, what you're saying isn't right. And that only comes from a security I felt in him, that I actually know what I'm saying is true, is the truth. And we all have these battles, the things that we know we need to speak up against and the things that we need to let God deal with. And I recently read, we live from acceptance, not for it. We live from acceptance, not for it. And that's the acceptance of God in God, okay? That's what he gives us. And God can use our past experiences, that's the other thing. Even the things that for some, maybe you've got some really painful things that you've been through. But he can use that to shape and develop your character. And he can turn these things to help others and turn them into a positive. God, we don't experience things without, God can turn them into good, okay? That's what God is there for. He uses things and we should never write ourselves off. So is this just for us? No, it's for a world out there. It's for a broken and hurting world. Never judge a person by what they look or even what they're doing. Never do that, because we never know what's going on inside of them. I expect most of you have been aware that it's sort of been Mental Health Awareness Week this week, and the amount of things that have been on social media that have been mentioned about people's mental health. Just realises the state this world is, how it's broken, how much it's hurting. How much is hidden as well? That's the thing with mental health, it's hidden. We don't see it, but it's going on underneath people's lives. But we have a hope. We have so much hope that we can reach out and bring people through their mental health. Never judge, always look, God, what can I do to help this person? How can I reach out? It was interesting, just a testimony from this week, I spent some time with a friend on Thursday night, a work friend who's been through a tough time because of the changes, but she's found her way through. And she's not a Christian, but she really listens to what I've got to say. And I was just sharing, I don't know how we got onto it, we're talking about the homeless. And I said, as a church, we really want to reach out to the homeless, and we don't mind whoever comes through our door and sits, because our motto is that we belong. We want people to belong. Then they may believe, and then they may become. But the belonging is so important. And Joe, it's such a powerful word when you say, actually, as a church, you're reaching out to people because you want them to belong. You want them to be part of something. That's what our love, that's where the love comes, because we want people to be part of something. She was really touched by that, because she said, actually, when I go to the church down the road, I really don't feel welcomed. Don't feel welcomed. I know as a church, that's one of our marks. We try and make sure people feel welcomed, because we want the people to belong. We want people to come here and feel they found an oasis of God's love. That's what we're here for. So in summary, we need to find our security in God. He is the one that will get us through the storm. It's a daily walk, and at times a battle, and sometimes we fail. But God's mercies are new every morning, and every day we get up to a new day that God can do, use us and move through us. And sometimes we just need to hold on to that. Do not let your past hold you back. I don't know, maybe that's a word for somebody here, but really God did really impress on my heart the importance of do not let your past hold you back. Mary didn't let her past hold her back. Reach out and find the love and acceptance of Jesus. Keep believing until you find a way through. However long it takes, okay? We're all on a journey. We're all learning. God is developing us. As we were singing, I am who you say I am. Know who you are in Jesus, just as we were singing. Find somebody to stand with you, okay? We're a church, we're a body. We care for one another. That's why the church is there. God doesn't call us to walk on our own. He calls us to be part of something where we can stand with people. Pursue intimacy. Pursue intimacy, whether it's through worship, whether it's through word, whether it's through prayer. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Take that time just to relax and be still and know that I am God. It's a really important thing, because from that we can do so much, from knowing who we are. And as we find our place in God, we can use our past experiences to help others. UCB on Friday referred to a man who built his house upon the rock. And that comes from Matthew 7:24, and Charlie's going to come and read that for us.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock.
Brilliant, thank you. Big hand for Charlie. He's come up and read really well this morning. Well done, Charlie. Excellent. As that says, we need to listen and do. Okay, so I always believe that with God, you're either moving forwards or backwards. And you can't stay still with God, really. And this is what the UCB note says. Because God always honours his word, your obedience aligns you with his word, his will, and the power to act on your behalf. As you walk in obedience, God will enable you to come through this storm, no matter how long and hard it rages. And it's that obedience. It's about listening, but it's not just about listening, which is what that parable is all about. It's about actually getting out there and doing what God has called you to do. And that's different for each one of us. We're different. So what God is calling you to do may be different from the person next to you. But God calls each one of us to do. But he doesn't want you to do the work that he's got to do, okay? He just wants you to do the bit that he's shown you to do. And you can find a peace and a security in that. And finally, we need to be an intentional people, okay? As I've said, we always should be moving forward in the Holy Spirit. And if we're not moving forward, then we must probably, whether we know it or not, we must probably be slipping back. But God wants you to know a security in him. Every day he wants you to know that security. And if you feel things are coming against you, or if you feel insecure, that's who you need to turn to. That's who you need to find your security in. That's where you need to find the rock that you can stand on and lean on. And don't let the lies of the devil come against you and pull you down. Never write yourself off. Always look up to God, because he wants to lift you up and make you secure. Amen.